I saw you in then the VIP, bottle service in Hennessy. My heart went crazy, it skipped a beat. I thought that you could be with me. I walk over to you, we lock eyes. You're my wife and I realize you're with my friend and it's no surprise. Watching you two makes my flag rise. I have a cup crush on you. I have a cup crush on you. I hide in the closet, let you do what you do. I have a cup crush on you. So baby, grab your phone, start to swipe. We need to spend some time getting it right. I don't want you to be alone tonight. I want you to cheat without a fight. When you're in the bed with my favorite guy, I hide myself and try not cry. I love you, lady, but I won't lie. My therapist even wonders why. I have a cup crush on you. I have a cup crush on you. I hide in the closet, let you do what you do. I have a cup crush on you. Grab a man and let's paint the town. I'll stay in the corner and watch it all go down. I promise not to make a sound while you and neighbor ground and pound. It's so lovely to be your man. I can't do what the other guys can. But when you're happy, I feel grand. He can be your lion, I'll be your lamb. I have a cup crush on you. I have a cup crush on you. I hide in the closet, let you do what you do. I have a cup crush on you. I have a cup crush on you. I hide in the closet, let you do what you do. I have a cup crush on you.
I love to watch you get screwed.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
She goes to give me knuckles, and I'm like, nice to meet you too. Ginny, did you say Ginny?
Yeah, Ginny.
With an I?
With a, no, that's like Jenny, but it's with an E. It's Jenny.
And I go, Jenny?
Jenny.
Jenny?
Jenny.
Jenny?
Jenny.
Jenny?
Jenny.
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 Jenny. Jenny.
And I'm like, okay, all right, cool, sweet. I'm here working out, and...
Well, it's my job, because I'm one of the Crunch Jam Jammers here. It's my job to welcome you to Crunch Fitness and make sure... that we get you to your 2026 goals.
Oh, the goals.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast and streaming audience. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, Thursday afternoon. Some people getting ready for yet another snowstorm.
A nor'easter.
A nor'easter.
Yes.
Wow. Brrr. I'm seeing how many days we can open the show with weather reports.
Yes.
I think we're like five in a row.
Okay, good. On a streak.
Yeah, the snow never comes here. It never comes here. I want it here. I want my kids to just have one really good snow that they can go play.
It would be fine. My nephew's got it.
Yeah, we had one last year that was kind of a little bit of snow. It was like a dusting of snow, yeah. And the kids went out and played. And they realized that snow looks very pretty from the window, but it's very cold when you're actually out there playing in it. And they didn't like it. Hey, everybody streaming out there.
Hello.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. I understand in my own head that snow looks pretty, but it's not all that much fun. You give it about an hour.
Right.
Yeah. Unless you have all of the galoshes and the snow shit and the snow boots that you can wear to keep your feetsies warm and your hands warm. But, you know, what am I going to do? I live in Atlanta. It's just not a place where...
It just turns to slush.
It just turns to shit every time. And the roads go crazy and people go nutty. That's the way that it is. But, you know, we just live in a very cold couple of weeks without any snow. Fuck you, weatherman. The weather guys did such an awful job of getting it right last weekend, at least for us here in Atlanta. So,
yeah.
Well, maybe Glenn Burns deserves all the shit he
was
getting.
No. No, I love Glenn.
He's still getting shit
Is he?
He's still getting shit. He's like, he slowed down on posting. So every town has that one weather guy, the weather guy that you trust. And here in Atlanta, that guy's name is Glenn Burns. He's 97 years old. I don't know how old he is. The guy's old. He's old. He was there when I was a kid. He's still there.
He's probably, got to be 70s.
Late 70s?
Yeah, something
I think
like
late
that.
70s. All right, so Glenn Burns, WSB TV, WSB Radio, trusted weatherman. He doesn't get overdramatic. He doesn't, you know, catastrophize things. He just lets you know the straight shit. And if, like, especially when the weather gets nasty tornado-wise,
yes,
I tune into Glenn. I want to see Glenn. And if it's not Glenn, then I go over to the other guy.
Well, Glenn's got his apprentice, if you will. Now I can't remember his name.
Nitz?
That might Neil somebody? I don't know.
I thought it was David Nitz or whatever his name is. Anyway, so Glenn Burns gets on. You want to have that guy because he'll tell you where. He seems to have a lot of knowledge about everything, and he tells you where.
Go down, like, right down to the street, too, you know? They can really pinpoint.
Well, he also said in one of his posts, they're very good at extreme tornadic weather, but they're very bad at winter weather. And man, were they. At least here where we live.
At least here,
live.
But not up in Nashville and Oxford, Mississippi. My gosh, that's a war zone down there too.
Clemson University, war zone up there too. I still don't think they've thawed out up there. I could be wrong, but I don't think they've thawed out up there. Okay, Glenn goes, last week, a week before this ice storm was going to happen, starting on Sunday, the Sunday before, Glenn puts out this very long post on Facebook that basically says, if I get this wrong, sorry, if I get it right, I will have warned you with a lot of time that this could be catastrophic ice going on in Atlanta, and it really could be bad news.
I mean, I think it was just off by like 6 hours or something.
It was off by 6 hours. It was off by 60 miles. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I give them that weather is not
Mother Nature
changes her mind.
Yeah.
She's a fickle bitch.
Yes.
Okay? All right. So Glenn puts out this long post, and he follows it by many other posts catastrophizing what is going to happen, which is not necessarily his style. So everybody is paying attention to Glenn. They're like, oh, shit. Well, if Glenn's saying it, then it's a problem. Some dick tweeds in the comments section start like threatening Glenn's life.
I know, poor thing.
Yeah,
God,
and he puts out one of the posts. He says, "I had to block about 150 people because they were getting out. This was getting out of hand. So I'm just going to shut up now and give you the straight shit. Like, here it comes. Yeah. Get ready. Whatever. Well, it didn't come. At least it didn't come here to us in Atlanta. So now he's getting it again. Now he's talking about this nor'easter and, you know, the weather.
I might sit this one out if I were you, Glenn.
Yeah, I would too. That's exactly what I was going to tell Glenn. I was going to say, hey, Glenn, why don't you just take a break, right?
Yeah, just pause on this one.
And this reminded me of the podcast universe that we were talking about. And let me explain how I'm going to make this correlation. Let's see what everybody, there's supposed to be snow in Tampa. What?
Ooh.
No, that's not true. Is that true? You guys down in Tampa are expecting snow? Okay. All right. So there is such a thing as overexposure.
Mm-hmm.
There is such a thing as just putting yourself out there too much, too often. And it's a dance. And I'm starting to learn it myself, right? Mm-hmm. It's a dance. You post every day. People get annoyed of you. The algorithm gets annoyed of you, right? The algorithm will say, let's slow down. I've been talking to Chad about this.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, I got all these ideas for my personal Instagram. And Chad at one point goes, you are going to start to overexpose yourself.
Chad said no?
Chad said no.
Wow.
It didn't say no. It just said,
gave you
be
a
careful,
warning.
Right?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I do 7 episodes of the commercial break every 3 hours. So how could it possibly hurt? Look at how wonderful it's worked out in the commercial break.
Yeah.
So it says, your overexposure, right? Be careful of overexposure because the algorithm and your followers will start to notice and you will get ratcheted. You'll get pulled down because Instagram knows. Followers will get irritated and they'll start leaving. Slow down. So I took the advice.
Okay, good.
Glenn needs this advice right now. He needs to slow down. Stop. Don't make any more predictions about winter weather until it's like on top of us, right? And then say, now's the time to go get bread and milk. But the podcast universe is also experiencing this a little bit. Let me tell you about about the larger podcast universe, because Brian's got his finger on the pulse.
Yes, okay? You do.
We, about 2 months ago, decided we're going to pull back a little bit, save you all from overexposure. And save ourselves from overexposure, but save
burnout.
Our own brains from burnout. And it's working, by the way.
Yeah.
It's working. I feel much better about coming in here and doing content when I don't feel so pressured to do so much of it. So much so that we've decided we're doing more episodes. It's like we wrote it in the notebook.
We're finding the balance.
We're finding the balance.
Yeah, yeah.
The force is with us, and we're trying to figure out exactly where that force is. Wherever the dollar sign is, that's where the force is pushing us. excuse me, not dollar sign, penny sign. We're like a penny stock.
Sense.
Yeah, we're a penny stock here. They say there's a little bit of snow expected in Tampa, and it's a couple days out still. Well, God bless. I don't know how many times Tampa has gotten snow. That's
Not very
insane.
Many, I'd say.
Okay. The larger podcast universe is experiencing a bit of burnout itself.
You alluded to this
other
day.
I talked about Two Bears, One Cave, YMH Studios, Joe Rogan, and a lot of the other comedy podcasters that are kind of in our same circle. Not that we're, you know, making that kind of money, but you know what I'm saying. Like, we're in the same circle.
In the genre.
In the genre, which is basically two idiots fucking off for an hour.
Right. Okay. Trying to monetize.
Trying to monetize. Well, shit, if we were in this for the money, we would have quit a long time ago.
Exactly.
A long time ago. Like, August 2023.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Settle down, everybody. All right. So I've been paying attention as YMH Studios, which is Tom Segura and his wife's podcast studio.
I've heard of that.
Okay. They have they've built like a little barn, stable full of comedy podcasts.
Barn.
A bunch of jackasses. I don't know. I don't listen to any of those podcasts. But Two Bears, One Cave, Bert's podcast, and Tom's podcast being kind of the ones that lead the stable.
They're the top,
right?
They're the top racehorses.
Yeah, they're the ones out of the barn most of the time. They have not renewed a number of contracts with a number of their podcasts. They've also seen an incredible downward force on
trajectory
mm-hmm. on their view counts and their downloads, right? And a lot of people are taking note of this, so much so that there are whole YouTube videos dedicated to talking about how YMH Studios is really suffering. I do not I am not like cheering on someone else's downfall.
No,
that sucks. Because a rising tide floats all boats, but a sinking ship, you know, is bad for all
others.
The sailors.
Yes.
That's right. It's bad for all sailors, right? And this is just indicative, I think, of what is going on in the larger podcast industry, which is the format that we live in. Two guys just, or girls or whatever, chitting and chatting sometimes can wear thin. It's why we have a lot of turnover in our audience, except for these people who have stuck around with us. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes.
Love you. But now, Bert Kreischer, who has been kind of pointed at as one of the guys who is really seeing problems with his view counts, with his downloads, is also, by some people's measure, overexposed. He is just everywhere at all times on every podcast doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, it would appear, if you watch some of these videos and you look at some of the comment sections, that he has just been overexposed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just way too much Bert Kreischer out there. And I think I'm starting to see why this can really be negative for your career. Like, when you're out there talking about every inch of your life at all times, just and on every podcast, doing that over and over and over again, telling every bit of your life, then it has the negative publicity effect. People start to get sick of you. They start to turn off.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening to the commercial break.
This is our sign
This off. Is our last episode.
Yes, celebrities, same thing happens with celebrities, and they're just everywhere. You see them everywhere. They're talking everywhere. And then it's overexposure.
Yeah. So I give an example of Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan does a podcast episode like every other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he does it for 4.5 hours. But you never see Joe on other people's podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see Joe on late night talk show television. You don't see Joe doing articles on in, you know, New York Times or whatever. He doesn't do that. I think, and because I've heard him say before, because he feels like there is such thing as overexposure. Now, some people would say, Joe's everywhere. Like, he's everywhere all the time. Yeah, but not because he's pushing himself out there, mm-hmm. but because other people are cutting him up and sending him out there.
Yeah.
So.
Unless he was like, I was going to say in my head while we were talking, or you were talking, I was thinking, it's the Howard Stern model.
It is the Howard Stern.
But, like, when Howard came out with a book or something like that, then you would see him maybe promoting it on other things. But, yeah, no, just, I mean, that's the format. And it's been pretty, it's been extremely successful for Howard Stern and for Joe Rogan.
It's been, Howard Stern picks his, there was a time in the 90s when Howard Stern was everywhere, mm-hmm. all the time. Every book, everything, all, I mean, I lived through
it. Yeah, the movie.
It. Yeah, the movie, on every morning, 5 days a week, you know, in every magazine, everywhere. He could not help himself, but he built a career like that. Mm-hmm. And he got hundreds of millions of dollars because he did so. But whether Howard could generate that kind of publicity now or not is almost beside the point. For the last 12 years or 20 years while he's been on Sirius Radio, mm-hmm. he seems to pick and choose his times to shine. And it seems to always be around contract negotiation.
Yes.
That's right.
His contract's up.
Yes. And some people are saying, you know, Boo Segura and Tom, you know, Bert Gets Drunk. I agree with all of that. Like, Tom Segura, to me, seems like he's a very dour version of himself. He seems very, like, not funny anymore, but kind of like mad, angry or something. I don't know. Angry at all those millions of dollars he made. But I don't know Tom personally, and we've never talked.
Well, it's the golden handcuff thing, too. You know,
it really is.
Once you get used to that and you've created this machine, you got to keep feeding the machine.
We know this personally, mm-hmm. right? Is that when you, more money, more problems.
Yep.
And so he has created kind of an empire that now needs feeding. And so the downsizing seems to be a reaction to something. And so when people are saying the views are down, the downloads are down, people are getting sick of it, that might be the reaction to mm-hmm. what's going on. This is the weird thing about being in this space. It expands and contracts all the time. Based on what? I don't know. Sometimes it's technical stuff, like how they count downloads or measure plays. Sometimes it has to do with, you know, just your overexposure. But I can see this sphere of the podcast universe contracting a little bit because I believe there has been overexposure. There's this other thing that we are guilty of, too, that we had a hand in. And now I'm glad that we are, at least for right now, taking a break from. And that is the constant rotation of every other comic and podcaster being on every other comic and podcaster's podcast.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Yes. You hear them on one, then you hear them on all the others that you're listening to.
Yes. Wait, what are they saying? Somebody's saying they remember when Burt K got sloppy drunk on a Netflix event a year ago. What a mess. I don't remember that event. I don't think I've seen that one. Here, I'll put it up there. And then someone else responded, if I was wearing Chrissy's white pants, I would have stains on it. Okay, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Okay, so we all know Chrissy's not having her period right now. Thanks for sharing that. Weirdos.
They're my winter white.
But they're saying Chrissy is rocking it. Chrissy's always rocking it. That's right. Chrissy's always. That's a weird detour. And then we're talking about Bert.
I know.
So Bert was wearing the white pants. All right. You got to jump in the stream. It's a ton of fun. People are having fun over there. I got to be careful about what I choose to put on the screen, but I can't read it in small print.
I know.
It's
thinking we needed like a little
we
iPad.
Do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We something. Do. For sure. We could just probably put it on one of our phones, but we're too lazy for that. Too lazy for all that. I like it kind of being a mess. I don't remember Bert getting drunk. But listen, there is no secret. By the way, Bert at least claims, and this is just like a comedy podcast, I guess, gossip, if you want. He went on, who was the guy? What was the comic's name? God, I can't remember his name, but he's got a comedy podcast. He's got a comedy podcast also. The two guys who own the whiskey brand, the tequila brand.
The tequila. Well, like Clooney's and all that.
No.
What anyway, brand?
I can't remember the name. Bobcat brand, but cat, something cat. Something cat. Anyway, okay. Two comics. They're famous. He's a couple of. I think they've been on our show, both of them. At least one of them, I know for sure. Anyway, Bert goes on there, and he says that his doctor did a series of tests, And that series of tests basically told him, you are not in good shape, buddy. And you got to stop drinking and you got to stop smoking and you got to stop partying. So, you know, Bert's whole shtick is basically getting drunk and taking off his shirt. Now, he's a comic. He's got some punchlines in there, too. But I can imagine when, you know, listen, you don't want to go out like John Candy or Chris Farley or any of those guys, or John Belushi or Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant drank 112 beers one time. It was like confirmed, 112 beers.
Oh,
in
really?
City.
He was a big drunk? I didn't realize
that. Andre the Giant was a bad alcoholic, bad alcoholic. But the problem was, the challenge for him was he just looked like an alcoholic to the rest of the room because he was 10 feet tall and 1,000 pounds. But he also had so many problems, like, you know.
Well, physical problems.
Physical problems that
being
he just.
That, well, he was a giant. Literally.
He was a giant, and people aren't supposed to be built like that. And, you know, when he was making that movie, Princess Bride,
I loved that.
Apparently he was in so much pain. Like, you know, they were asking him to lift people up over his head, and he was in so much pain, but he refused to back down. He was like, I'm going to continue to do it. But anyway, there's this long line, this history of comics who have traditionally, or not, I mean, historically been overweight, who just drink them and drug themselves to death because they're afraid of not being funny anymore if that's not what they do. And for that reason, regardless of whether you like Bert or not, regardless of whether you think he's overexposed or his shtick is funny or it's not, I hope he does get healthy. Who fucking cares about all the money if you're not around to enjoy
it? Well, exactly. Yeah, you've got to take care of yourself. Wellness. It's a thing.
Health and wellness. It's a thing, says Chrissy.
Chrissy's, you can quote me.
Chrissy's got her finger on the pulse.
Well, no, I was reading something the other day where wellness is a big thing, for especially too, for even young people to be thinking about now, which I think is great.
Yeah, I totally agree. And listen, the truth is these alcohol companies are scrambling right now because kids are not drinking. They're just not drinking. The younger generation is, they, I mean, that's not true of everyone, of course, but, you know,
they're not drinking like it was back when we were growing up, for sure. Like,
the beer companies down by 20%. Yeah. The liquor companies down by 30%. We talked to Zoltan. Didn't Zoltan, or no, what was his name, that had two different liquor companies, a beer and
that was the guy.
He was funny. The guy.
He was really, really funny. It was, if he was from up in the Midwest.
He was up from the Midwest. Yeah, or Wisconsin. He did all those videos. Yeah, yeah, he was like the video guy. He's a really former weatherman, wasn't he, or some shit?
Yeah,
like
something,
a journalist. He got kicked out of the Republican National Convention.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, Chris something, I feel like. Okay, we have done so many interviews, I can't remember some of the names. So anyway, so Chris explained, it's just the liquor, it's a bad time to be in the liquor business. There's so many brands, everyone's got one, and the kids aren't drinking anymore. So it was really up to us old drunks, like Chrissy, to keep it going.
I do like my wine.
Yeah, listen, you're not 20 anymore. And so I think you're handling it well.
Yes. Well, I mean, come on, let's just think about what we were up against when we worked in radio. I mean, I had my bosses feeding shots to me. Jaeger, 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 shots.
It was a dysfunctional.
Oh, God.
Margarita
machines were
environment.
Rolled up and down the floor on Fridays.
When they bring margarita machines into the building, I mean, it didn't happen very often because it apparently caused a lot of trouble before we showed up. So it didn't happen very often with us. But I will tell you this. We worked for the Braves Radio Network.
Oh,
I worked for the Braves Radio Network. I got a green pass. Green means go. Go anywhere in the stadium. Turner Field. I was there all the time. I would park in the players' lot. And then I would walk in through the players' entrance. The best two seasons of my life. Best two. I mean, so much fun.
It was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. And I would drag Chrissy along with me because she also worked for the station that had Braves Radio. But
and we would take clients.
Yeah, we'd take clients, which was just Chrissy and I, or people we were dating, or people we wanted to date.
Exactly.
Or I was dating Chipper Jones' girlfriend.
Yeah, that's right.
Chipper Jones threatened to kill me. But part of the trade deal when you do this is like, okay, you're going to carry the Braves radio network. We're going to split the radio revenue you're going to carry the Braves games. You're going to split the revenue with us, and your station is going to have two suites and an X amount of dollars to spend at every game. And it was like
$10,000
a game. and you could go up to the bar, the private bar, you know, in the club level.
What was that, 721
the
club?
The 755
club. 755 club.
Holy shit.
The doors would open.
Yeah, the doors, yeah. You'd get that green pass and they would just, whoosh, two people would be there standing, the doors open. You'd walk in, the bartenders knew your name and they fucking hated us because they knew. That if it was a day game, they weren't going home till nighttime. Yeah, and if it was a night game, they may not be going home till the next morning. And it wasn't going to be because we were entertaining clients. It's going to be because we were entertaining ourselves.
Exactly.
With alcohol.
Yeah.
I had to carry Chrissy out of the stadium.
I mean, I believe it when cars were left. I mean, yeah.
The security guards knew. They were like, oh, that's Brian's car. Just, that's Brian's Honda with no headlight. Just leave that there. I was parking next to like Maseratis and poor, you know, all the players and the executives. Right. And here's Brian.
Beep, beep.
Beep, beep. Green pass. They'd be like, let me double check that.
Wait, I remember they had a Lexus parking lot too. And I remember I got to park in it because I drove a Lexus, but my Lexus was old.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was
like 100 years
scraped
old.
On the side.
That's right.
It's funny.
Best time of my life. I wish I could go back there just for a day.
Go back and just observe, like, from above, just what idiots we all
I wish
were.
We had iPhones like we do now, so we would have all this camera footage of us. But we had Blackberries, and they were shitty. You could text, but that was about it. It was some of the best days of my life, but... The train has to stop at some point.
Exactly.
You do not want to be the last person at the bar when the lights go off or on, whatever bar you're at. You just don't. The rusty nail.
Oh, God, the rusty nail.
Which is the...
Oh, my God.
The whoever said the first, coined the phrase dive bar...
Yeah.
...had the rusty nail in their head when they did.
That and Northside Tavern.
And Northside Tavern. Mm-hmm. But I even think Rusty Nail, because Northside Tavern has some...
music.
Yes, it's got some cachet with the kids.
Well, it's got live music.
It's got live music.
Rusty Nail did not.
Eric Clapton played there. B.B. King played there. So every famous guitar player has played stopped by the Northside Tavern. It is a fucking dive bar, no doubt. It's a brick box with cigarette stains.
Oh, graffiti all over the place. The women's bathroom was always very strange there. Like it was like an open air just toilet.
Yes.
In the middle.
Yes.
The room. God,
same with the guys. Like a little curtain you had to pull. The door came off at some point. They just put a curtain there. And it was one toilet. Yeah. And that toilet was made in the 50s.
Right.
It was like this. It was like this big. And you had to pee all over the place. The dive bar was so divey that even the bartenders had cigarette stains on there. I mean, it was just the worst environment you could be in the best live music.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Rusty Nail had no cachet.
No
one fucking knew what that place was. If you knew, you knew.
I remember day drinking in there one time.
Oh,
I mean, it was just, it was like
America.
Vegas where you didn't know what time
windows.
Was outside. Yeah.
The windows were this
and there
big.
And it was a circular bar.
Yes, there's a circular bar they made wood go circle. How did they do it? I don't know. And it's tiny. It's like the bar was the size of this table. There were like 12 people that would fit around the bar, and the bartender was stuck in the middle of this circle. And she was there forever. Peggy was her name. I remember her. She was there forever. She looked the same forever. She was stuck looking 45 years old until she was 80 years old. I mean, I swear to God, there was a huge woman, blonde lady with stringy blonde hair, huge woman. And she had a purse that would sit on the top of the rusty nail, circular bar. It was her seat. No one else sat there. She was there likely 10 hours a day. And in that purse was anything and everything you needed. But you didn't ask her directly. You had to go through one of her intermediaries.
Oh, she was the dealer?
The dealer.
At the bar.
Yes. I had been going there for 3 years before I even got an introduction to the lady. And I was going through like intermediaries, like either the bartender or the waiter or the cook or some other person who knew them. And then it was just like, it was this whole scene that was going on in there. And
that
I just
wild.
Yes. And it was, it's
didn't
the,
it just get demolished?
It
recently?
Just got demolished. Actually, the walls are still standing, but the inside is completely ripped out.
Oh.
I don't know why. maybe they can't rip the walls down. Maybe they're...
Is it a historic preservation?
Maybe it is a hazard to human health to knock those walls down. There's so much cocaine. It's maybe they found cocaine. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's a crime scene now.
But that bar is what I think about when, you know, I haven't been drunk in many years, right? I still drink every once in a while, but I haven't been drunk in many years. And that bar and that lady and that bartender and some of the characters that sat around that circular bar flashes through my head. Mm-hmm. I go, I don't want to be there when the lights turn on. I don't want to be who was the last customer at the Rusty Nail? Probably the blonde lady who sold cocaine. Probably. But I just didn't want
to
be that
But there
guy.
Was a wild party to end it.
I can only imagine.
Right.
I can only imagine how many thousands of dollars worth of narcotics ran through that place after they said, we're closing in a month.
Yeah.
And people were just like, fuck it. They had bikers in there every Thursday night. You didn't want to fuck with those guys. But they were nice, but you didn't want to fuck with them. They were definitely like the legit bikers, not like, you know, guys riding a Harley on Tuesday afternoon because they got the day off work. These were like legit bikers. Bikers, they had karaoke and people with no teeth and, you know, meth heads with short skirts on. I mean, it was a whole scene going on in there. And we learned to fucking love it. Why? Because we were on our way to being one of those people.
Right.
And that's how it all happens. You get sucked in, and then you got no teeth, and you're doing karaoke with the bikers on a Thursday afternoon.
Next thing you know.
Yeah, playing, you know, digital lotto until you're blue. Keno. Until you're blue in the face. Today's my day. There was one guy that was always playing Keno. I just wondered where he got all the money, but he was always playing. But he'd win.
There are those guys. There are the girls and guys.
He'd win, and he'd go like this. He'd go, well, hot dog! And then Peggy would turn around. She'd go, wait, you won, Michael? Hot dog! And then he'd lose, and he'd go, Butterfingers. You knew if he won or if he lose, based on what he said. I'll never forget that. For a long time, we would say, like, hot dog, or Butterfingers. And that is why I chose to get healthy. That's why I chose to go to Crunch Fitness.
Oh, I can't wait to hear
but
the
Crunch
update.
Fitness is now officially on my shit list, and I'm not sure I'll ever go back there again.
Oh, God.
I mean, I'm locked in for 3 months, but I'm not sure I'll visit ever again. Because now that James can't get his way with me, he has sicked someone else on me.
I can't wait to hear this.
All right, so why don't we do this? Let me find the commercial. There's the commercial. Let me find the commercial. We'll take a break. We'll listen to a little music. Chrissy and I will be back in 2 and 2.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Jackie Beans. How's Jackie Beans?
Jackie Beans is great. And that guitar reminded me that I started guitar lessons.
Oh, you did? What?
Yes.
You started a guitar lesson? Oh, okay. All right. You can't play us a song yet.
No. I just learned how to tune it and what the different chords are.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, I figured I wanted to take it up.
Yeah, why not? Hey, listen,
learn
never too
instrument.
Late. That's right. I think, you know, look at, I don't know, look at somebody. There, somebody didn't start it late.
Well, Jeff was saying that growing up, one of his friend's dads was like, you know, hey, I'm going to learn how to play guitar. And they were like, yeah, whatever.
And then he became like a legend.
And then he became good. It was like a year later, but.
Hey, listen, sometimes you're gifted and you don't know it. One of my daughters wants to play guitar, so I gave her a guitar. One of my sons has joined the band. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I think one of the best things that you can do for your kids is put them in a music program, even if they don't seem musically inclined. Or not, you know, some kids will gravitate toward music, some kids won't. All of my kids have gravitated toward music, but that's because we're always playing music.
Yeah.
Like, that's our thing.
Yeah,
yeah. But I think one of the best things you can do is teach them how to use that part of their brain, mm-hmm. because it really can become spiritual almost in a way, in a sense that it's meditative. When you're starting to learn how to play an instrument, you'll fiddle around. If you get the bug, you'll fiddle around for days.
And it's just good for your brain.
It is good for your brain. What's not good for your brain is being constantly fucking pestered by people at Crunch Fitness. And I don't understand why they have to do this. So, Astrid goes.
Are we tanking any chance of getting the Crunch Fitness sponsorship?
Yes, we have zero chance to get. Well, okay. All right. So let me tell you this. When Schnitzel Fritz signed me up for this whole thing. And, you know, I said, I need to get out. It's the easiest $38 you've made all year. Just sign me up and swipe the fucking credit card. You don't have to do anything else. And she decided to take up an hour of my fucking time.
Hold your license hostage.
Yeah. And so she's like, so what is it that you do? And I'm like, I don't want to talk to you about this. I go, we're in the content business. Content? Do you create content? I go, yeah, we create and edit it. And, you know, it's just, it's, and she goes, that is fascinating.
Of course.
And I go, yeah. And she goes, so do you do like a, what, like TikTok or something? And I'm like, podcast, TikTok, Instagram. I don't really don't want to tell you. You're not my core audience anyway. 18-year-old girls who work at Crunch Fitness are not the commercial break audience. I don't think anyway. So I just don't want to say it, right? I'm just not interested in having that.
Yeah, because then it's a whole thing.
It's all fucking thing. I got to fucking tell you how bad, you know, don't listen to it. It's not good. Anyway, I don't want to go through the whole rigmarole. And she goes, did I tell you about our content creation special that we have going on, the Crunch Fitness content creator? And I go, no, you didn't tell me. Oh my gosh, this is perfect for you. You get to set up a table every Tuesday right here in the front. You get to set up
a table.
I go, I don't think I'm going to set up a table.
And
wait.
We're broadcasting live from Crunch Fitness.
Broadcasting live from Crunch Fitness, smoking cigars and drinking wine all day. She goes, you get to set up a table each Tuesday. And then every month we close down at 9:30. And there's a whole networking event that goes on in here. And then you get to create all the content you want inside of Crunch Fitness. You just have to tag us and make sure you put our logo in the corner. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. And then so what do I get? And she's like, oh, well, it's like $189 a month. And I go, wait.
You get to network is what you get to do.
I go, I got to pay, but then I can create content. She goes, so many of our small businesses love it. And I'm like, well, fuckity fuck. I don't want to have any part of that. And I said, listen, let me talk to other people in the business about this, because I don't think we'll ever be a part of that. But I'm going to lie to you and say, hey, yeah, sounds great. I'll talk to other people about it. You're going to love it. Do you want me to email you a special promotional package? Yeah, please do, to the email that I never checked.
Right.
Here, there it is. Okay. So then.
Brian Green at clearchannel.com.
Yes, Brian Green. Brian Green. Brian Green at lastjob.com.
Yes.
That's right. They'll get the email. So then yesterday I walk in and it's one of these days and there's like a lady there with her cookie business.
Oh, it was the day.
It was the day. And okay. I walk in and there's a table up front. And there's
a
like a lady's. Yeah, she's got cookies
gym?
Like wrapped up in a bag, like a Ziploc bag. And she's like, poor lady. I felt bad for her because she's like, hi. And I'm like, oh, hey, how you doing? She's like, do you want some cookies? And I go, oh, well, actually. I'm going to work out. So I'm going to skip the calories. Yeah. And I thought to myself, this is bad alignment here.
Right? What I was saying.
I don't want it before I work out. And I'm certainly hopefully not going to want it after a workout. So I said, hey, listen, not right now. but maybe when I come back. She goes, yeah, because I have a special. It's $7.99 for three cookies. And I'm like, wait, I have to pay for the cookies? No, I'm not going to. No, I don't want that. That's not. So I go and I check in and I'm scanning the room and I'm like, okay, all right. I don't see James. That's good news. I don't see James. And I go up to the treadmill and I start my workout. And I put on one battle after another.
Oh, yeah,
which
yeah,
is another movie I'm trying to get
through. Yes, it's a good one.
Right. Oh, man, is Sean Penn fantastic.
Oh, my God, I was telling you. Lockjaw, is that his name?
Lockjaw, that's right.
He's
but
great.
I'm not all the way through it, so don't give me the ending
okay.
yet. But everyone's
also, I watched
great.
The Pit.
Oh, you did?
I'm caught up.
Is it as good as last season?
It is.
It is. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all I need it to is. Know. All right. I got Astrid's going to have to hurry up or there's going to be a mutiny on the bow. So I'm like watching, and this is, yesterday I did this thing, right? The 6x6x6, my 666 method, which is basically I'll run really slow, like, 13-minute mile, right? And then for 0.6 of a mile, I just fucking hook
it.
Yeah, and then I go back down to basically walking fast, mm-hmm. and then I do that six times.
Yes.
So I'm like my third time in, and I'm really fucking struggling. I'm like, I got this cold, this cough. I'm schmutzing everywhere. I'm sweating, and then I see him out of the corner of my eye from the side of the gym. He's like clocking in or whatever, and it's like ding, ding.
Your radar went up.
Yeah, it's that Western song. And I'm like,
right.
fuck. And he goes like this. And I was like, and I just got done with one of my, sprints. And I'm like this. And then I go back down. I look down back at the movie, right? And now I'm just head at the movie. And so then I turn it on a regular running pace. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to regularly run. I'm out of breath. I'm out of shape. I'm doing this whole number.
Plus, you've got to concentrate on James.
Well,
staying away from James.
I don't concentrate on James. I just concentrate exactly on the movie. I'm not going to look at fucking James. I'm just not going to do it. And then all of a sudden.
God, sounds like he's got a eczema.
I look up and I go, fuck. But I go, hey, James, how you doing?
Hey, man, I was just over here. I was looking at, we were all watching you. What is it that you're doing over here? Because we're all wondering exactly what's that. What is that?
I go, let me slow it down now so I can, I can talk to you. I go, listen, James, it's like a method where, you're like, you work out your muscles, but then you work them really hard in short spurts.
Basically.
What's that?
It's called HIIT.
Yeah, whatever
high
it is.
High intensity.
Yeah, high intensity training, mm-hmm. right? And I go, yeah, this is what I'm doing. I'm going really
high
fast.
High intensity interval training.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. And I go, I'm really fast, and then I go a little slow, and I go really fast again, and then I go a little slow.
So basically, you're working out like a small child. Yeah, that's okay. We've heard of that. We did that. Uh-huh. Okay. Have you thought about not doing that?
I go, James, I know. Listen, man, I'm just like, I'm trying to get my own routine going. Like, I think I got it. Now I'm getting a little fussy. So I'm like, I think I got it. I just need a little time.
Peace.
Yeah. To do
you.
It. Oh, man. He goes like this.
He goes, oh, man, I wasn't trying to bother you. Listen, you still have at least one free hour. We call it the Crunch Jam. You've got one free
hour. The Crunch Jam?
Yes, Chrissy, the Crunch Jam. It's where we jam as many sales opportunities as possible into one conversation. But whenever you're ready, I'll get one. I'll get you with one of our jammers, okay?
Thanks, James. I'm just gonna get back to the workout here, and I'll get with your jammers later. With the jammers.
All right. Well, I'll see if she's around, and if she is, touch base with her before you leave. Okay. Thanks, Brian. Good working out, man. Have a good workout.
All right, James. Sounds good. I'll do that. And so then I get back to the workout. So I'm like, okay, I think I blew him off, at least for today. Mm-hmm. I got it. All right, here we go. All right, back up to 1,000. I'm going crazy. And then all of a sudden.
Are you Brian? Brian Green?
And I turn sideways, And there's a girl getting on the treadmill next to me.
Oh, God.
And she's like starting it up with Crunch Fitness gear on. And I go, yeah. Now I'm thinking like Astrid called in to find out, you know, like something's wrong.
Yeah,
she can't
right.
get a hold of me and my phone on.
Brian
yeah.
Green.
So I slow it down automatically and I'm like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Hey, my name is Jenny and nice to meet you. And she goes to
give me knuckles. And I'm like, nice to meet you too, Jenny. Did you say Jenny?
Yeah, Jenny.
With an I?
With a, no, that's like Jenny, but it's with an E. It's Jenny.
And I go, Jenny?
Jenny.
Jenny?
Jenny.
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 Jenny. Jenny.
And I'm like, okay, all right, cool, sweet. I'm just, I'm here working out, and.
Well, it's my job. Because I'm one of the Crunch Jam Jammers here. It's my job to welcome you to Crunch Fitness and make sure that we get you to your 2026 goals.
The goals.
I go, hey, Jenny. I go, hey, Jenny. Totally. I want to get to my 2026 goals, but I really want to finish this workout before we do this.
Yeah, before we have a discussion.
That's okay. And by the way, Jenny, whatever her name is, Jenny with an like Jenny the, with an E.
With the apostrophe, the little like accent.
Yes, the little ding.
After
yeah.
the E, above
or it's
the E.
Two E's. I don't know what it is. I can't read her thing because it's over here. And Jenny is 20 years old, blonde, and they knew exactly what they
oh,
were
yeah.
doing. Send the girls. I mean, I'm not saying she was like super hot. That's not what I'm saying. But she was not James. Let's put
right.
it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what they were doing mm-hmm. when they hired all of these young girls to work up front, right? That's how they sell
Correct.
You. That's part of the package. Listen, you can hardly blame them. That's the way you get. All
yep.
these guys are coming in there, probably with a couple extra pounds on them, probably a little bit older, recognizing that they need to get something done. And the 90% of those guys, the reason why they want to get in shape is to talk to girls like that.
Yes.
And I'm like, I have no interest. I have my yeah. Venezuelan wife, and she is all I can handle. So I'm not interested in Ginny or Jenny or whatever your name is.
Yes.
And I go, hey, Jenny, I'm just trying to get this workout in. And then I think, you know, I'll set up my Crunch Jam later. Is that okay with you?
Well, listen, my job is to just welcome everybody here. It's a no pressure, no judgment situation. Why don't I do this? Let me walk you around. You can do your workout, and I'll see what you're doing, and we'll take some notes. What do you think? I got time, you got time, we all got time.
I go, nope, Jenny, listen, I can't do that today, but I would be happy to set up a time very far in the future when it's possible or not possible, we may actually do that.
Well, what are you doing now? What you got? You're doing like run fast, then run slow, then run fast, then run slow. Because I've seen a lot of older guys do that, thinking that's going to work, but it doesn't really. What you need is personal touch. You need a personal trainer.
I go, yeah, Jenny, that is what I'm doing. And you know what? I like it. It's yeah. good for me.
Right.
It
right.
makes me feel good. Okay? It may not work, but at least in my brain, I'm not sitting on my fat ass all day long.
Exactly.
And that is
yes.
all I really need.
Right.
I don't need.
It's accomplishment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
My goals are to have 26-inch pythons, okay? That's never going to happen for me unless I start roiding up.
Well, listen, I'm going to let you get back to this run, and when you jump off, let's meet over at the weight training area. What do you say?
Nope, I don't think so. Not sure I have time for that today.
You're not going to work out today?
I am going to work out today.
Well, then you have time for it. Let's get that jam in. What do you say?
And I'm like, holy fucking
wow,
shit.
Wow, I mean, the hard sell. Oh, my God.
They got me on the premium program because of the fucking tanning
yes.
bed. Now
yes.
they got everybody in the
yes.
gym staring at me so that they can watch how bad my form is and make sure that everyone in the gym tells me that. It's a campaign of embarrassment. It's a war of attrition, and I refuse to attrit or whatever fucking you
Except.
Say. So I go, okay, listen, Jenny, I don't know if I can do that today. I'm trying to, and I say to her, I go, I'm trying to be.
I'm doing my own jam.
Yeah, I'm doing
Jenny.
I got my own jam.
Thank you.
My jam is continue to watch shitty television like I do at home, but just on a treadmill. Oh, no,
exactly. There so you I'm go. Getting some exercise.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And so, and she goes,
okay, I got it. Yeah, no pressure, no judgment. Listen, why don't we do this? When is your next training day?
I don't know. I might be out of town next week.
Next January.
Next January.
Why don't we go ahead and schedule something? Just put it on the calendar. No pressure. If you can't make it, let me know 5 days in advance by email, phone, and text message, and we'll reschedule it for another time. What do you say?
I go, sure, whatever.
What, you said you're going to be out of town?
Yeah, I'm going to be out of town for a really long time.
Why don't we schedule it for whatever, February 28th?
Okay, February 28th sounds good. So she like puts it down, and she's like,
I'm sending you an email and a text message, and I'll give you a call beforehand just to make sure you're ready to go.
Oh, God.
I go, okay, Jenny, thanks, Jenny, whatever your name is.
Janae,
that's right. I go down, I go to the weights. Now I'm not being accosted by anybody, and I feel okay. I'm working out.
Oh, you went down to the weights. Okay, good.
I did. I'm not going to, yeah, no pressure. Exactly. Right. Shannon says no pressure. No pressure is right. It feels like nothing but pressure, actually. I go down to the weights. I get unaccosted for my first, you know.
Good.
For my 700 reps of this. Right. I don't know how to work.
How do you change the weights?
How do you change the weights? Hey, Jenny, I actually do have a question for you. Can you jam on over here and show me how to do this?
What was it to do that you just flip it?
You just flip the button. That's it. They're like little toggles.
Yes.
And you just flip it to whichever weight you want to do. Anyway, so I go over there. I get unaccosted for the first one. And then the second one. And I go to the second one. And then I'm watching the show. I got it on the little thing. And I hear,
hey, Brian.
Hey, and I look over, and Ginny's on the same machine right next to me.
Oh, gosh.
Right? By the way, this girl is like a dollar. She's like a dollar sopping wet.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a tiny little thing, right? No distinguishable muscle on her whatsoever. No distinguishable fat on her whatsoever.
Right.
She's just there. And and she's like, you know, doing it with no weights on. And she's like,
I was talking to James over here, and we were noticing a little bit of a, like, when your posture's like, this
slumped over
like this. I got the phone in my hand posture. It's really bad for every muscle group, really, but especially the one you're trying to work out. I just sit up a little bit. If you get your back straight and put some muscle into it, you might actually work out the muscle, if you know what I mean.
I go, oh, yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. Let me, I'll straighten up here and I'll get back to you. I'm watching something right there.
I think that's part of your problem. I think part of your problem is you shouldn't be watching television while you're working out. It's just a suggestion. But what a lot of our members find, actually all of them, find that if you don't watch your phone while you're working out, you get much more out of it. You'll attain your goals quicker.
I wanted to say in my head, I was thinking, you're 20. What do you know about attaining goals quicker?
Right.
Was being a salesperson for Crunch Jams in your 2026 goals book? Because I can't imagine it was. I go, hey, thanks.
Yeah. Oh.
Appreciate it, Jenny, whatever your name is. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to finish the workout here. And then I think we scheduled something. So I'm just going to go ahead and wait for that. I don't want to get my jam in now. I got to prepare for my jam later.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Hey, swing by before you. I've got some information.
Oh, the old swing by.
Yeah, I got some information on how you can perform better and maximize your workout for your goals. I want to email it to you. Step on by and we'll take a look at those 2026 goals.
I go, yep, all right, sounds good. Yeah, this is all judgment, no fun is what this is. And it's really annoying me. I know Crunch, I understand the game. I get it.
Of course.
One time, when I went to LA Fitness, they also bothered the shit out of me for the first day that I was there. And then they never talked to me again about it. ever. I would check in, I would work out, I would leave. I was never accosted by a salesperson. Now, maybe this is just because it's the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I think
and they got to get,
they got to hit their numbers.
Yeah, they hit their numbers, but you're not getting it with me. I am one squirrely motherfucker. If I don't want to be somewhere, I'm not going to be there. If I don't want to do something, I ain't doing it. I am a stubborn Irish boy. And so I get done with my workout. I really want to go to the tanning bed, but Ginny and James are up at the front. And I'm like,
you gotta go
not doing
through
it.
That.
I walk on out. But right before I do, the lady is like, hey, you want a bag of cookies? Yeah. I actually dropped the price to $5.99. And I go, oh, I go, yeah, I think I'm going to pass. I actually don't even have my wallet on me. You can Zelle me later. I'm like, yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
How's that $189 a month working out for you?
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to ask was, is it worth the $189
a
month?
And again, the cookies doesn't seem like the right fit.
It's not the right fit.
They were like special cookies.
For all I know, they could have been protein cookies, but I didn't give her a chance to tell me because I wasn't buying them.
Yeah.
I can't afford $7.99 cookies. For $7.99, I can get 3 boxes of Chips Ahoy.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? And probably taste better. Probably. No offense. But sometimes the home cookie cooks, you know.
Yeah.
I lived with one for a while. She thought she was like the cupcake queen. She would make all these cupcakes. I'd end up being the taster because she didn't eat. And So she'd get these orders from friends and she'd get these orders from like tiny little bakery shops for like, you know, 5 cupcakes or whatever. And she'd make these weird flavor, like cinnamon, cardamom, carrot cake and all this stuff. And I'd end up being the taste tester. And to me, it all tasted the same. Super fucking sweet, right? But what was I going to say? So I was like, oh, those are delicious. I don't know. I'm not a cupcake taster. What am I, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
well, it sounds like another eventful day at the gym.
Not going back. I don't know. I don't know. What do I do now?
You got to keep pushing through.
I think I do.
Yeah.
I think I do. They'll get the point.
They'll get the hint.
They'll get the hint at some point.
Yes.
But I think I've done as much as I can do without just saying no.
Yeah.
Like Astrid told me yesterday. She's like, just say no.
Right.
You just got to tell them no. And like, how, you know. I'm not good at that either, but I guess I have to do it. I guess I just have to say, no, I'm not going to do your crunch jam. I'm not interested in your physical fucking fitness workout hour or whatever it is. I'm not interested in your classes. I don't need to be upsold on, you know, dumbbell ball sack
holders.
I like
doing it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Leave
I'm
me
okay
alone.
Doing it the wrong way because it feels good to me.
Yes.
And if I start doing your program, then I'm going to feel really pressured to do it your way. And I can already tell your way is the right way.
It's going to be
hard. And that's going to be hard.
All right.
I like sliding the line between I did something, but it doesn't hurt too much.
Yes. Yes.
That is the key to a good workout, as Arnold Schwarzenegger will tell you.
Right.
By the way, I watched The Smashing Machine with The Rock.
Have you seen this? No, but I've heard of it.
We'll talk.
He plays the wrestler, right?
He plays the wrestler.
Mm-hmm. And he has hair.
Kerr. I can't remember the... John Kerr, whatever, Kerr, the one of the very first American UFC, what they would then call UFC in the future, fighters, like raw, unregulated, crazy fighting. And he was the smashing machine because he was a big boy who would kick the shit out of people.
I can't wait to hear about this.
He was like, I'll tell you all about it. If you want to watch the movie, I mean, it's his life story. There really is no spoilers, but I'll tell you all about it.
Okay,
let's take
a
break. And then when we come back, we'll chat about it. And any shows you want to talk about, throw them in there. Yeah,
throw them in the chat.
Yeah, and we'll pretend like we watched them because we didn't watch them.
I've watched a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Chrissy watches a lot more than I do. Okay, we'll be back.
Also while I'm working out.
Yeah, that's the time when you watch
exactly.
the shows. That's the only time I have. Leave me the fuck alone. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you can make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now, I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors. And then we'll return to this episode of The Commercial Break.
I walked in the door to grab a latte. I paid $10, heard Ariana Grande. But then I saw him and his big dog. I felt my knees weak, here came the brain fog. And though I'm not gay, you make me feel that way. I hope it never ends, my new Starbucks boyfriend. All my toes curl, all the feels come. My world of gold, you are my shining sun. We love to talk sports and swim in pools. You like the patio, I like the bar stools. And we spill tea and we throw shade. The other tables might think we're gay. I don't really care, I hope it never ends. You're my best Starbucks boyfriend.
Right. Have you played that for him?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. We talked one day about when we all went out to dinner, didn't we?
Yes.
When all, like the two couples,
the
went out
you,
to dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah, the four of us went out to
That's
dinner.
That's when you signed up for the New York Times after that.
That's right. But For the life of me, I cannot find that episode. I might have got lost in the transfer when we moved to the new network. Anyway, Culture Changers Pod, which is up there right now. Go check out Culture Changers
What's
Pod.
What's up, Allison?
It's Allison. It's one of our good friends. Talked a lot about her here on the show. She's a lovely human being, and she's got a great podcast called The Culture Changers Podcast, so go check that out if you have time.
The Rock.
The Rock in The Smashing Machine. The Rock gives an excellent performance. He was built to play this because his physique is incredible in this, But if you look at him now, he's lost all that weight. All that muscle weight just went away. He now looks very skinny and a little bit weird, if I'm being honest. Yeah. But the transformation that he makes in this movie is quite crazy. Not that he gets so big, but that his face, it doesn't look like The Rock.
Right. That's what I read.
Yeah.
And he's got the hair.
Yeah, he's got the hair. And they do an excellent job making, like, very convincing. Very convincing. And it's all about the guy, Kerr.
Is it sad?
It's not sad. I mean, there are moments that are sad. There are moments that are intense, for sure. When you're talking about guys smashing the fucking shit out of each other.
Yeah.
But it tries to take it to kind of like a spiritual level, tries to bring you inside the head of these fighters and why they're doing it and why it's interesting to them, why particularly it was interesting to him. And it's really a story about friendship, the friendship between two of these guys that started at the same time and the friendship of the people around him and his girlfriend at the time, who is pretty intense and caused him a lot of problems. But they went on to get married and actually had a child. They got divorced, but they remained friendly. But the movie does not end in any particular way. Mm. It's like the plot just stops. It's like there's a big fight that he's going for, and then I won't give you the ending, but there's a big fight, the first championship, like world championship. He goes to it. And then afterwards, it just ends. The movie just ends.
Okay.
There's like no... like wrap up. I like that. I like that it was, it felt very real to the story, to the actual story about
like it
what
was
happened.
Like a moment in time of a few years.
Just a snapshot.
Yeah.
Just a few years from 1997 to 2001. That's it. That just shows that period of his life encapsulated a little bit. He had a bad problem with drugs. He almost died with opiates because of all the pain that
pain.
He was in.
Yeah.
How can you not take opiate painkillers if that's what you do for a living? It's like, you know, these football players. I knew one. When I worked for myself, I knew a football player. He had played for the Giants. Mm-hmm. He had played for the Jets, and he had played for the Cowboys. And he was a pretty good player, right? He wasn't a Hall of Famer, but he's a pretty good player. Had a good career, like 9 years. And
he was a pro.
He was a pro. He was, you know, a second round draft pick, starter on all the teams he played. He had buckets of opiate pain medication.
Oh, yeah.
Years later, yeah. He had buckets of it. He handed it out like candy. If you wanted it, he would give it to you. He had it in his car. He had like multiple, just huge bottles of it. And he was like, the doctors just give it to you.
Yeah.
Like, the doctors give it to you. And these doctors, I don't know if they're associated with the NFL, but I think that the NFL doesn't discourage it. There was a big like to-do about this a couple of years ago about the doctors in the back mm-hmm. giving guys pain mm-hmm. medication, shooting them up with Demerol or, you know, what, a cortisone or whatever they needed to get through the game when they would hurt themselves. And I can't argue with it. If that's what you choose to do for a living, you've got to be able to have some relief. Yes. I don't agree with being addicted to opiate pain medication, but if that's what knocks it down, that's what knocks it down. Mm. If you're going to put these guys out there in these situations where they are killing themselves for the almighty dollar, for the billionaires that own these teams and the billionaires involved mm-hmm. with the NFL, don't deny them the care that they need. And that includes with the head trauma and all that. Now, I'm not saying being addicted to opiates is the best thing ever. It's not, obviously. But if that's what kills the pain and that's all you got, what are you going to do? There is no better alternative that we know of today than opiate pain medications. They're working on it, but it's really not there. So, you know.
Yeah, don't you have to just keep taking more and more and more of it, though?
I think that's the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we all know somebody who's had problems with it, right? And yes, you do have to take more and more and more. But you got 7, 8 good years in the NFL. That's all you got, you know, as a professional athlete. If you're in baseball, maybe 10 or 12. If you're a golfer, maybe 20 if you're a professional golfer. But golfers and baseball players don't hurt themselves like these football players and these fucking UFC guys.
Well, I don't like the UFC stuff. I don't like watching it.
I've watched it. I told you the story, but there was a guy. I worked at Black Eyed Pea, like a weird restaurant that used to. Remember that? The
yes.
Black Eyed Pea?
Yes.
I worked at the Black Eyed Pea for like 2 months before it turned to Bertucci's Brick Oven Pizzeria. Uh-huh. And at the Black Eyed Pea and then at Bertucci's, I ended up being friendly with a guy who was older than me. I think I look back on it now, I'm pretty sure he was gay, closeted gay. But he was older than I was. He could drink. He had pot, you know, and he invited guys mainly over to come over to his house and watch these wrestling videos.
Oh, you were
videos.
Talking about that, yes.
Early UFC competitions with like Hoist Gracie and his father, like these videos that's the only way you could watch UFC or any of this mm-hmm. kind of fighting is you had to get the videotape, you had to buy it or find a store that would rent it, and very few of them did because it was so gory and there were no rules.
That's the one
eye gouging, ball kicking, you know, titty twisting, like all of it. It didn't matter. They were just doing it.
And it's like bare knuckles.
Oh, yeah. This was bare knuckles. Now I think they wear at least like, you know, half inch gloves or something. Yeah. But it was just, it's intense. But this movie was very good.
It was? Okay.
A little bloody at times, but they don't show anything too gory, like anything that would... Nothing they don't show in the pit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing they don't show in the pit.
I thought about Astrid as I was watching the show last night. I thought, ooh, Astrid's not going to like that part.
Yeah, it's sometimes that's really intense. Sometimes that's
not as many tracheotomies as I was seeing
that's good.
Last time.
That's good.
But there's other
At
things.
At least they slowed down on the tracheotomy.
Yeah, they've mixed it up.
Yes. So one battle after another...
That's really good. I've seen the whole thing.
Smashing Machine. I finished Sinners.
Yes.
I have to say, Sinners is very good.
It is.
Very good. Brian Jordan or
Michael B. Jordan
deserves every accolade
really
he will get for that movie. But in total, after I look at the whole movie, it reminds me too much of
you were saying that From Dusk Till Dawn.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Which I don't remember really seeing, so that's maybe.
Quentin Tarantino, post-Pulp Fiction, put Dusk Till Dawn. Dusk Till Dawn is one hour.
I thought it was Ethan Hawke. No?
No.
No,
it's got George Clooney in it.
Oh, okay. Well, I saw that one.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino. One.
Yeah.
Okay,
George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino star together. Quentin Tarantino, they're brothers.
Mm-hmm.
One of them very evil. One of them kind of has a heart, right? There's like so many similarities. They get stuck in a music joint, strip joint, really. But they're playing music. They turn into vampires. They have to fight their way out till the dawn comes, whatever. The first half of the movie is a crime caper. It's like a mystery. And then all of a sudden it turns into a vampire movie. No warning whatsoever. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you're in a vampire movie. It's a weird shift in gears. But that second half of the movie, it just reminded me so much of it. However, the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, where they're showing about the real people.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Sinners, I don't want to ruin it for you, but the last 10 minutes of the movie are fucking fantastic. Fucking fantastic. And the music is outstanding.
It is.
It really is. So in total, I think Sinners is just as good as From Dusk Till Dawn. Two different movies, but very similar plot points, plot devices. But at the end of the day, Sinners is, I think it's aesthetically more pleasing than From Dusk Till Dawn. And I really enjoyed it. So congratulations.
Yeah.
So now we've got Michael B. Jordan.
Yes.
Leonardo DiCaprio. And the other guy for Timothée Chalamet.
He's not in there.
You
mean nominated.
Oh, nominated.
Yeah.
Those are the three that are.
Wait, he's the Marty. Marty, the Marty movie.
Mr. Marty. Yeah, Mr. Marty.
Which, Lila, our daughter, you know, saw that and she was like, yeah. And she's like a Timothée Chalamet.
Really?
Fran.
Yeah. Is that movie based on the story of Wally Green?
No, Wally. I thought about him when we interviewed him too. No, this is a guy from like the 70s or whatever.
I should
reach out to him.
Not reach out to Wally. I saw Wally.
We did a great interview with him, a two-parter, which never aired.
I know. It's 2 hours long. We did a two-hour interview.
He was fascinating.
He was fascinating. Guy named Wally Green, African-American, yes. Black guy, who was on his way to big trouble in the world of the hard streets of New York. Mm-hmm. And he got yanked out by like a Russian guy, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yanked him out. Wasn't he going to rob him or something? Something about something.
No, that was 5 years ago.
It was a gun.
Ago.
Yeah.
When we did that interview.
And all of a sudden, he was part of a ping pong club, like a private ping pong club.
Yeah, and like Susan Sarandon had started the facility.
Church of the Holy Roller. Yeah. And Marty was Wally was a big part of like this whole scene. And he was like opening ping pong places around the country with Susan Sarandon and... he's got a very interesting story. Went to North Korea.
I see him on Instagram every once in a while.
He is there. He's got a very... Mm-hmm. So when I saw Marty Supreme, the commercials for it, I was like, oh, is this the story of Wally Green?
No.
But it's not. Okay. All right. So I haven't seen Marty Supreme. I'll check it out. I also want to check out, that movie about the boss, the Bruce Springsteen movie.
Oh, I do too.
I have heard it's not good.
Yeah, but I want to see it. It's the guy from The Bear. I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to see it.
Okay. All right. So we've got some things to watch.
We've got on some lists.
But I'm trying to knock out, piece by piece, a few shows here and there that we can
talk about. Jeff and I do the same thing. We're like, okay, these things were up for awards. Let's watch them.
Absolutely. Want to watch the stuff that's up for the award. Mm-hmm. So now I've seen Sinners and some of one battle after the other. I'll get through it. Maybe I'll do it tonight. Yeah, for sure.
It's a long movie.
It is a long movie. It's three and a half hours long. That's a epic movie.
I guess that's the way DiCaprio does now. I saw some kind of stat on him, but he's been nominated the most.
He has been nominated, I think.
Or ties with somebody,
but
of all time.
Only won once, and that was for...
Titanic?
The Bear. No, not the...
Oh.
What was that movie where the bear attacked him?
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah. What was that movie where the bear attacked him? He's in Alaska. He's a fur trader.
Oh.
Is it called The Bear?
It's not coming to mind.
I don't know. Anyway, he won. It was a decade ago. I just read about it. It was a decade ago. Let me see here. I saw it. It was intense. Leo DiCaprio movies. The Revenant. The Revenant.
Yes.
Yeah, where he gets raped by the bear or whatever. That's an intense movie.
That is.
Yeah, that's an intense movie.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, The Revenant. That's right. Thank you very much. he's been nominated a lot, but he hasn't. He's only won once.
Hmm.
So we'll see. But also, Timothée Chalamet, they do not like to give this particular award to young actors. They just don't. Mm-hmm. Historically, he would be the youngest to ever win. So we'll see. And Michael B. Jordan would tie for the youngest winner ever at 37 years old. He is very good.
He's a very good-looking man, too.
I'm just as good-looking. I think.
You are. More crunch fitness.
I'm in there. I'm in there every day. Not every day. I'm in there some days. I'll be in there less now.
I'll be there.
But I'll be reporting back every time that I go.
I can't wait.
Okay. All right. Excuse me. And my cold still not gone away. Unbelievable. All right. At the commercial break on Instagram, we'll let you know a couple minutes before we go live. So make sure you subscribe and follow us on Instagram. Brian W. Green, my personal Instagram. Chrissy. TCB Chrissy.
Chrissy, which I never post. I'm sorry. I should.
She will. I'm going to smack her over
there. That's a new year. That's my 2026 goals.
New year, new you. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak to watch us streaming every Tuesday, every Thursday. And yeah, you know the drill. Do it. Get a hold of us. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
Tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast and streaming audience. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.